Welcome to Crawl Space. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, Tim, but I really want to be fantastic. And what would make me fantastic is knowing that you're doing well. So, how are you, Tim?
Well, I'm doing fantastic.
Great. We're all doing fantastic. I hope everyone out there listening is doing fantastic. If you're just right on the cusp of being fantastic, I guarantee once you listen to this episode, you're going to walk away with a smile and say, God, what a fantastic day.
You're absolutely right, Lance. We have on an old friend. Her name is Lainey Hobbs. She does the True Crime Fan Club podcast. And Lance, she's one of the creators of the True Crime Podcast Festival that's happening in Dallas, Texas this summer.
At this point with Lainey, it's almost easier to say what she doesn't do because she has about a million podcasts, plus she does the festival. Plus, she's a new mom, which is a big congratulations right there.
Yes, indeed. Big congrats.
But all of that is not going to keep her from attending the festival, which is August 26th, August 27th, and August 28th. And that is located at the Weston Park Central Hotel in Dallas, Texas.
That's right. It's going to be a great time. And Lance, we are not attending this year, sadly. We would love to be, but we are going on tour with True Crime Obsessed and Maggie Freeling in August. And that's just a little bit too much for us. But next time that they do the True Crime Podcast Festival, we got to be there.
We made the commitment during this conversation with Lainey, so there's no going back on it. Not like we would anyway. But you are right, Tim. We are going to be traveling pretty much the entire month of August, starting on August 3rd, where we will be in the wonderful city of Orlando, Florida, on stage with True Crime Obsessed and Maggie Freeling. Then we move on to West Palm Beach, Florida on Thursday, August 4th. And then we are off to, on Saturday, August 6th, Atlanta, Georgia. That's leg one.
Leg one. And then leg two is St. Paul, Minnesota on Friday, August 19th. And then we head south to Dallas, Texas on Saturday, August 20th. And then over to Houston, Texas on Sunday, August 21st. Lance, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun to hang out with Patrick and Maggie again.
It's going to be a whirlwind, Tim, and I really am looking forward to it so much.
And for more information on those tour dates and to get your tickets, go to truecrimeobsessed.com. Okay, everybody, and make sure to go to the True Crime Podcast Festival at the end of August, August 26th through 28th, 2022. It's a busy August for the podcast industry, Lance.
And I know. Can we squeeze some more stuff in there?
The True Crime Podcast Festival is going to be great. You can get your tickets at truecrimepodcastfestival.com. And there's also some links in the show notes to follow them on social media. And while you're toggling your butt over on the internet, why don't you toggle your butt on over to truecrimefanclub.com and check out what Lainey's doing over there at her flagship podcast. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. Follow us on social media. Check out the links in the show notes.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
How's it going, everyone? It's Tim and Lance here. Have you ever wanted someone to read you creepy bedtime stories in the most velvety voice ever?
Well, you had me hooked at velvety, Tim. We are excited to share a podcast that is exactly that. It's called Nighty Night Bedtime Stories to Keep You Awake. And Tim, it's narrated by a friend of ours.
That's right. New York Times bestselling author and podcaster Rabia Chaudhry. Nighty Night is an anthology featuring classic horror stories this season and fictionalized true life stories in season one that are so creepy that you will realize reality is scarier than fiction.
And Tim, I know our favorite part of each episode is at the end when Rabia says, but wait, there's more to the story. And we get to hear those fascinating details about the author and the context of the tale. What's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode is The Tiny Hares from season one, which takes us on a harrowing journey when the narrator runs into a dangerous man in the woods. What about you?
Well, mine comes from the current season. It's called The Horla, in which we witness the protagonist spiral into a descent of madness. Tim, I feel like I'm constantly spiraling into a descent of madness, so I really relate to that one.
Well, I hear that. So dim your lights, get under a cozy blanket, and find and subscribe to Nighty Night wherever you get your podcasts.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Nighty Night, everyone.
Welcome back to the podcast. Lainey, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Surviving. That's all I can say.
Surviving is really the most any of us can say at this point. But I'm curious why you went to surviving right away. It felt like that
just
was...
Because, you know, it's just a... I feel like I'm dying half the time. So I have a lot going on. Obviously, you guys know with the podcast that I do, being a new mom, and then also the festival that I'm headlining this year. It's kind of crazy. So very excited. But yes, definitely overwhelming at times. So surviving is the best I can do.
Where do we start? You said you have your show, you're a new mom.
Yes.
The festival. I say, first of all, thank you for taking time out of your day to sit here with us in front of your logo and and talk about all this. Where do you want to start? How is it like being a new mom in this day and age?
It's really interesting because it's kind of like a nouveau thing. You have all of these different ways to like engage in parenting, right? So we have gentle parenting, a reactive parenting, and things that are very different from how I was raised for sure, which is kind of like having a new mindset of being like, how would I have wanted to be talked to as a child? I'm raising a human, so I just really want her to be the best person in the end and hopefully help her manage emotions and be able to have constructive conversations with people. So I just really ultimately just like to acknowledge her feelings, even though she's one, just kind of have those conversations. So there's a lot you could do, you know, may not do it always the best way, but we try. And so I think as long as you care about the type of parent you are, you already are doing a good job.
Well said.
But yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. Well said is right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about how you've balanced your job as a podcaster.
Yeah. So I have a 9-to-5. I actually just started a new job in January, but I do like employee relations. So I do HR, which if you know me, you know that that's like my bread and butter because I'm nosy. I love to know what's going on. So people basically have to tell me what's going on a daily basis, and I get to hear all the drama, which I love. So I started a new job. My daughter was probably 6 months or so. And then I put her in daycare around 8 months. But at the time, I was in a pretty stable job before and then was managing podcasting when I was on maternity leave. I had a lot of friends fill in for me on the show. And I had done a bunch of pre-recording for Spotify. So I didn't really have any of that pressure to put episodes out or make sure like I really planned my maternity leave, to make sure I had enough time to just focus on the baby and then come back to work and get back into the stride of things. So everything worked out. I had my grandma lives with me, so she watched the baby when I had to record. My husband's here, obviously, working from home too, so we kind of just swapped her around. And then when she started needing a ton of attention and I was worried about like, oh my God, she should probably learn stuff instead of just hanging out in her room, you know, like playing. We put her in daycare. So she's been there having fun ever since. And yeah, I'm actually, you know, then I started all these crazy things with the podcast and festival. I was like, it's a great year for me to take over. So
well, that's
what
great.
I did.
that's great. 2022 is the year of Lainey.
Yes. It's the year of yes.
The year of yes
to everything. Yes.
Okay. When you are, speaking of yes, when you are interviewing for a job in the field of HR, human resources, do you let them know first that you have this podcast and this other side project?
No.
Or this other, not side project, you have this other life.
No.
And do you also let them know that you like drama and you're nosy?
Yes. Okay, so yes to drama and nosy, because I say, like, employee relations is my bread and butter. I could eat it every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm very passionate about it. I love coaching, counseling, employees, and just being people-facing. It's what I love to do. So I have a real passion for it, and it's, you know, the salacious part of it is fun, but it's not that, like, salacious every day. It's just kind of somebody used my trash can and I'm pissed off about it type of situation. You wouldn't believe the stories you hear.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane, but I love it. And I don't really share. I don't really like to have my worlds blend together that way. Like, my family knows, obviously, but, like, my general friends don't really care that I have a podcast. They know what I do. They don't realize, I think, the success I have. So it's kind of weird for them when I'm like, oh yeah, I work for Spotify too, or oh yeah, you know, when you get a sponsor, they think it's the coolest thing in the world. I'm like, you guys, like, we've been getting sponsors since forever. So maybe we're a little jaded because we've been we've been in it a while. So it's just like, you're not like, oh my God, I got a sponsor. Like, your first one, you're so excited. But, like, you know, after a while, you're like, yeah, I'll do business with you. You move on. And it's just now a business transaction. It's no longer exciting, if you will.
To all the potential sponsors out there,
I'm not excited.
We're always
not
excited.
I'm not excited whatsoever. Just pay me. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like, to me, I see it as a business transaction. And I'm like, if I like what you're offering, then I'll take it. And sometimes, you know, my friends get to live vicariously through those sponsorships. So it's wonderful. But I generally don't like to have them merge. Now, if somebody mentions they have, you know, interest in true crime, or I'll say, like, oh yeah, I love true crime, like, I love talking about it, and then somehow that'll come up. So I've been more open about it, but it weirds me out with when my coworkers, like, listen to me. I'm like, oh, you listen to that? I'm like, oh wait, don't start at the beginning, because it's very, like, jarring. I chose, like, the most, like, insidious episodes to begin with, or cases to begin with, in my podcasting journey. So I tried to go, you know what, just start from, like, where you're at right now. You don't got to go back to the beginning. So yeah, I generally don't like the worlds to mend. So
okay. So have you ever considered setting up, like, secret mics in your office, your HR office, and then, like,
if
maybe
I
10 years later?
Sued.
Well, 10 years later, down the road, you can start a podcast that's, like, HR confidential, and it's all the employees just, like,
and
dishing.
I just work with Dr. Shiloh and Dr. Scott to analyze the kookiness.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you honestly wouldn't believe. I just dealt with somebody who, you know, you've heard of those stories, like, targeted individuals and stuff, and how, like, they kind of devolve into this thinking. And I just dealt with somebody who was like that. They were put on, like, a suspension or something, and then they started emailing us saying, like, I noticed that the company vans are around me more, and I noticed that, you know, my service is glitching and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that, like, happened so quickly. And so now they're, like, in this targeted mindset, and I've never seen that happen, like, in real life. I've only really ever heard of it on shows that I listen to. So yeah, I mean, I work remotely, so I don't have an office to go into. So it would just be me, and you would just hear me go at the end of it going, wow, okay, at the end of that. But yeah, no, the stories aren't really that interesting. You don't really get great, great stuff, but things like that you see and you're like, oh, wow. I'm thankful for the remote work because, you know, I know true crime very well, and I know the ramifications that come along with doing the work that I do. We remember the Oklahoma office shooting that happened, and HR was targeted in that, and that really scared our profession. And so we had to take a lot more precautions on where we sat when we were terminating employees, who we notified when we were terminating employees. And so when I moved to a remote role, I was really thankful for that, because I was like, listen, I'm not willing to put my life on the line to fire somebody. If I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to engage with that person. But ultimately, I take employee safety very seriously, especially my own. So I'm very happy that we have those parameters in place now. But yeah, it can be a scary profession, depending, because you don't really know who you're, you know, who you're crossing paths with. I think many of the people who have unfortunately been taken in office violence thought, you know, had probably some weird feeling about them, but they felt they couldn't do or say anything because you don't have proof of it. You just have a feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I don't want to make light of your job, but yeah. I've been feeling a little weird about Lance lately, and I was wondering if this is okay, an okay place and time to mention that.
I think
probably
so.
Probably don't want to tell Lance that you feel that way, but probably want to talk about that separately. But, you know, now that it's out there, for sure, I will take on the guide of, you know, employee relations for the podcasting community. Now there would be some drama. I would love to hear it. I'd be like, please come to me with all of your issues. I would love to hear it.
Yeah. That one you would definitely want to record and broadcast
oh,
later.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If I could do
it.
Podcasting confidential, oh, I would love it.
The good thing about that is none of the podcasters would threaten to sue because they would love to hear their own voice out there.
That's true. And we could do a disguise. Oh my gosh, that's such a great, can we just do that together?
Yes.
Can we collaborate that and make that a podcast thing where they can just call in their confessions and be like, this is a podcaster I hate today.
okay,
you're
so
on
do
to
we
something.
Call,
yeah,
this is great.
Good idea.
Do we
yeah.
call
yeah,
it?
Yeah, copyright it, claimed it, trademark. Yeah. Nobody can steal this idea. We called it. Oh, that would be amazing. I would totally do it in a heartbeat. I have so
podcast
much.
Confidential? Podcast confidential?
Podcast confessions.
Confessions
of a podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely something in that range.
Oh,
there's
and
even
the
here.
Audience would eat it up because they know that stuff happens because you see all the subtweets from random accounts and stuff. Oh my God, I would love it.
Yeah. Oh.
I would have stories for days, guys.
It'd be incredible.
Yeah, and when, luckily we stay out of all the drama completely. We completely stay out of the drama. Mm. We've never been embroiled in anything dramatic.
True that. Oh my gosh, yeah, really.
Lainey, tell us about your podcasts. I know True Crime Fan Club, and yeah, tell us about what else you're up to.
Yes, so I have True Crime Fan Club that I started in 2016, so that's my baby. And then I have my paranormal show called It's Haunted What Now? I think that's going on 3 years now, too. And then I host a show for Spotify. It's a Parcast original, as they call it, because previously Parcast was its own network. And then they got bought out by Spotify, so we are a meld of Spotify and Parcast. So I host Crimes of Passion on Spotify, and I'm just the host of it, so I don't really do any of the research, writing, even though part of my lines is I'm not a researcher. I mean, you know, like I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but we have done a lot of research for the show. I have done none for that. So sorry, veil has been unmasked. And then I actually have another show coming out with them. I'm not clear to announce what it is yet, but I will be hosting another show for them probably in the next year or so, but still in development.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well tell everybody now. I mean,
well, I don't know what it is. Official title. I don't know what it's called, but it's really cool. It's interesting. It's still kind of in the true crime world, but it's more so focused on kind of the white collar crimes, like art thefts and things like that. Like kind of the cool stuff that I like to talk about too. So I think it'll be fun.
Very cool.
Is it all about D.B. Cooper?
Yes. Okay, well, great. You spoiled it, so.
Nailed it.
They're going to sue you now.
Please.
Yes.
That's going to be in our podcast confessions.
Well,
my show was exposed.
Podcast exposed.
Not okay. Yeah, we're getting closer. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it might be maybe teetering on.
I also have stories about those too. So let's we can get into it.
Wow.
Oh man, let me tell you. I just hear it. My ears are to the ground. That's it.
Well, tell us what kind of stuff you cover on your podcasts. Let's start with True Crime Fan Club.
Yeah, so with True Crime Fan Club, it really just runs a gambit. I particularly focused on solved cases. Doesn't really matter when they happen, but for me, having a resolution is really important. It's very, very hard for me to do anything that's unsolved, just because I like to have answers. So I know that there are people like there out me, like, oh my gosh, I know that there are people out there like me who also like to have answers. So that's what I do. So it's not a serialized show at all. It's just a different case every episode. With It's Haunted What Now, it's focused primarily on haunted objects, and I love the paranormal, and I think it's a lot of fun to hear people's stories and kind of their experiences and things they may think are paranormal, or people who were skeptics and now believe in it. So yeah, that's pretty much what I do. And Crimes of Passion is, of course, any crime that involves either love, relationships or friendships and things like that, and kind of the extremes that people will go to kind of commit murder, you know, especially in the name of love. So very interesting cases that I hadn't heard before, and then also some cases that are very familiar to those who are in the true crime world.
Very cool. And what about your live show?
Oh yeah. So I host a live show every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Central, on what is now called Spotify Live. It was previously Spotify Green Room, but Spotify Live is basically just an active platform where people who like live audio can go and engage in any discussions. Think of like Clubhouse, but it's basically now for just Spotify. So I'm part of the True Crime Tuesday content that they have. And yeah, I love it. I mean, I cover a new case and cases I don't cover on typically on True Crime Fan Club, just because either it doesn't have a lot of content available and it's enough to condense into an hour discussion. Or like recently I did the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial just to do a recap of it, because I thought it was interesting. So you can basically just pop up on there anytime and host a live show. We actually plan to utilize that platform for the True Crime Podcast Festival. So those who can't go, we don't typically want to have everything behind a paywall. It's not our deal. So people who can log in that day, if they want to, will have access to it. And then podcasters who are hosting either a panel or a roundtable can also get that audio emailed to them. So it'll be fun.
I think you have a little bit more room on your plate for something else.
I think so. I mean, hello. Yeah. I'm also starting another show on my own. But I'm going to wait. And I know it's as much as I say, I don't like unresolved things. But my writer for True Crime Fan Club is really, really invested in cold cases. So we are going to be starting a new podcast called Cold Case Club. And it's just going to be covering a bunch of different unresolved cases out there. I'll probably launch it sometime next year because we want to have all of the episodes done so that it's just kind of consistent across the board there.
So you're really capitalizing on the fan club.
Yes.
Yeah, the fan club branding, which is really smart. So you got True Crime Fan Club, Cold Case Fan Club. What's next?
You know, I don't know. Mom fan club.
fan club.
Yes. I'm just going to be the, you know, like president of all the chapters of the fan clubs that are out there.
Nice. What about this supernatural passion that you have? Where did that come from?
I've always been interested in the paranormal. I honestly wanted to do a paranormal podcast before I did True Crime Fan Club. But they're just, to me, I wasn't ready for it, I guess. So true crime was kind of the genre that I felt more comfortable in at first. And then once I got my bearings in podcasting, I was like, okay, I can do this. I know what I want. I know what I'm looking for now. But yeah, I've always been interested in it. And I'm Mexican, so our folklore is really meshed with the paranormal. We have a lot of stories in my family about experiences that they had in Mexico And all that stuff kind of just fascinated me and kind of scared the crap out of me at the same time. My grandma would tell it to me when I was little, like about to go to sleep. I don't know why I ever asked her to tell me these stories. I'd be like, oh, tell me about that time a witch approached you or something. And then I was like, oh my God, why am I sleeping by myself? So I love to be scared. I love getting scared. I love like that frightening feeling, but just a weirdo, I guess. I don't know. I love it. So I love to share in the paranormal with people. But I will say this. If you are a believer in the paranormal, avoid the Zach Bagans haunted house tour at all costs. Because I was like, oh my God, this is so terrible. Like if I would have walked in like a hardcore believer, I left a skeptic in the paranormal. I'd been like, oh, I don't wow. know.
What?
Shots fired.
Shots fired. It
so bad.
Bagans.
This was the one in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. Terrible. I heard the exact opposite, I feel like.
From who? Least... I want to talk to them.
I don't remember.
Okay, so some of the stuff they focus on, like in true crime, so they talk about the Satanic Panic, which as we all know, in true crime was not a real thing. It was something that people just like created in their minds to hate on people who listened to heavy metal, who dressed in black. It's kind of how the West Memphis Three were selected as, verdicts in the case, if you will, because of their lifestyle and what they chose to listen to and wear. So they went off on, they pushed that narrative, the Satanic Panic narrative, as, you know, like, oh, Jenna Jameson's brother. And of course, I'm like, you're citing Jenna Jameson as a source. She's like tequila right now, just a little loopy. So they were saying like Jenna Jameson's brother remembers people in cloaks and children being sacrificed and all this stuff. And I was like, that didn't happen. Like, that was not a thing that happened. So that really grinded my gears. They talk about Robert Bordella, you know, the Kansas City Butcher. And they just pushed a lot of narratives that in the true crime world have been debunked and are not true, just kind of to sell a story. And I don't think that that's appropriate or ethical. So I was like, this is not great content to be pushing to people who don't know otherwise.
Are you saying that Zach Bagans from the renowned and esteemed
Ghost Adventures
mm-hmm. possibly has something going on in Vegas that might capitalize on the inaccuracies yeah. uh-huh. and the tragedies of the past?
Yes. I mean, the Bordella room is just upsetting because he has nothing but like renditions of whatever artwork he had that shows like really severe sexual abuse scenes. And I'm just like, why? What's the point of that? But yeah, he does.
What
so.
What do you mean by that? Like sexual like, torture that would be done yeah. historically?
No, like that Robert Bordella, like the pictures he took of him.
Oh, the Robert Bordella. People. Oh, mm-hmm. oh, why would you do that?
Exactly. So, and then also for Dr. Kevorkian, like we know now that there's a compassionate way to help people end their lives. And so, again, pushing a narrative of like, oh, what did the evil Dr. Kevorkian do? And I'm like, these people actually like came to him and requested his assistance. And then same thing with like Ed Gein, who we know suffered from a mental illness. Does that excuse the murders that he did? No. But there's also no paranormal piece to that. So this is truly just something for, salaciousness. That's really all it is. And so I'm fine with that. I'm like, listen, go hard if you're going to go hard, but just tell the right story. He had Nazi memorabilia in there. I don't see the point, purpose of it, because we know that it existed, but I don't see the point in having it on display anywhere. But again, I mean, it's just he's a collector of items and collector of stories, and I think he's the curator of the stories that he finds to be the most attractive, and he necessarily probably doesn't care about the accuracy of those. So,
Nazi memorabilia is so, like, boring and tropey to me. Like,
yeah,
if you're going to present, if you're going to present something with a Nazi tie to it, give me something that's historical where you can tell me what happened, why, what, you know, where we are now. Like, give me like depth to it, and not just like, oh, this was a SS badge.
Yeah,
isn't it creepy?
Or here's a little rat with Hitler's mustache on it, and I'm like, okay.
Well, cool. That sounds adorable.
So- I mean, well, minus the Hitler part.
But wow, yeah, we've covered a lot in 20 minutes.
I know.
My gosh.
No, don't apologize. This is the best kind of
it's the content you didn't know you needed.
Ooh, write that down.
As curator, though, I feel like he should be there, like, as the tour guide, so you can kind of ask him these questions. Like, what were you thinking when you put this here? You know, but that's not what happens, I imagine.
No, I guess he visits every now and then, but the tour guides also are pretty hokey, and they carry around canes that they systematically knock every now and then, not in, like, general senses, like, oh, hey, it's like, dunk, 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 and then things happen, or dunk, 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 something happens, and you're just like, anybody else believe this? Like, I was just like, at first I was really nervous to go because I'm like, oh, they have the Dybbuk box, they have, you know, these notoriously haunted objects. So I was like, okay, you know, like, I don't mess with my juju like that. And for some instances, there were parts of it where I was like, wow, that's incredible. Like, I'm not going to mess around with it just in case it's real. The doll that, like, if you look at her eyes, she, like, can haunt you or whatever. So I was like, no, thanks. I hate dolls anyway, so not taking the risk. The Dybbuk box was really interesting. But then there was another instance of, like, a Swedish man who's was murdered, and they believed that because they believed he was a witch, and then they buried his body, and then the ground started dying, like the ground around him started dying after he was buried. So they were like, you know what, let's exhume and chop off his head and then pass it around through the generations. And so they have his head just like floating in this box, and they were like, yeah, don't say anything when you go into that room. You can look at him, but just don't say anything because this is his final resting place. He doesn't want to be here. And I was like, okay, so, like, let's not expose him then. You know what I mean? It's just, like, that's just such a weird thing to do. But, yeah, it's pretty hokey, in my opinion. It wasn't, like, the best tour, if you will. And so I did, like, a little Instagram reel afterwards and was just, like, I would skip out on it. It's just as kind of salacious as the Murder Museum in L.A., you know? It's just a lot. For maybe no reason.
Well, I like that you have decided to use this platform to
hate on see. Zach Bagel Bites.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Just wage war on Zach Baggins. He is open door here if he wants to come on to rebut any of this.
Oh my God, I would love it.
More than welcome to come on. What is a haunted object that you would stay as far away from?
The Dybbuk box for sure.
Oh, really? Go.
Oh, yeah.
Do tell.
So it's this really, I think it belonged to a Hasidic Jew at the time. And it was something that exposed like both worlds. It's so evil and good. And for Jewish people, I don't really know what they believe in terms of heaven and hell. So, but it's like the equivalent of that in Christianity. So this box is essentially like a portal to what Christians would consider to be hell, and allow for like evil things that don't necessarily belong in this world to come out and expose itself. And so the woman who had the box, she requested that the box be buried with her because she was aware of like how dangerous it was. And in the Jewish culture, it wasn't appropriate to do that. So the granddaughter ignored those wishes and passed it along to different people. And of course, everybody who came into contact with it before it's kind of enclosed in the way it is now. So the different people that came into contact with it have had terrible experiences, like either got cancer or have died or have had heart attacks or have lost people in their lives. And it's all pretty consistent. So everybody who's had it has had some terrible tragedy or sets of tragedies happen. And then finally, the box made its way to Zach, and they did kind of a Jewish blessing around it and made sure that, you know, it was kind of sealed appropriately by a rabbi and by different other, I think, people. Now, there's this famous story about Post Malone kind of getting, you know, the repercussions of being in the same vicinity of the Dybbuk box. So the story goes that Post Malone and Zach Bagans were there in the Haunted Museum after hours doing a little tour, and Zach had this like these ashes of somebody in his hand, and he takes off the clear case that's over the Dybbuk box that's supposed to like protect people. So he takes the clear case off and he puts the ashes on top of it. And then immediately, like, has some visceral reaction to it, like crying, screaming, slamming up against the wall. And Post Malone's, like, scared shitless and he has no idea what to do. So he's like, I'm going to go get help. And he thought it was just weird and silly, so he didn't take it seriously. Well, then later what happens is, like, his plane almost goes down or crashes. He gets robbed, or his house gets robbed, and then he's in a really, like, terrible car accident that he luckily survived. So he went and made amends to the Dybbuk box for some reason. I forgot what the issue was, but he makes amends. And because of that incident, they now have enclosed the Dybbuk box into this huge, like, wood glass case. And it has etchings of Hebrew prayers on it. And then there's salt and basil, I think, around there. But the basil is starting to mold, which means that there should be... The only reason that would happen is if there's moisture, but it's completely dry. So there's a lot of things, like, happening there. So I went into the room really like, oh God, please nothing. And so, you're not supposed to spend a lot of time around it. But yeah, that's one object I definitely don't have any desire to revisit ever again.
Well, that's understandable.
But how do you guys feel about that? I'm very interested. That's believers in the paranormal?
I love it. I'm super interested in it. I don't really know, I guess.
You haven't had any experiences?
No, not really. No.
Not anything that you can, like, really point a finger at and say, like, that is a tangible thing. But I do agree with you on, like, the feeling of being afraid. I rank that up there with, like, you know, you get those, like, emotions and moments in your life that sort of define what you're going to do next, and your adrenaline and your, you know, your brain is firing on a level that doesn't typically fire when you're simply shopping for groceries. You know, in a moment like that, you have to make a decision and you have to figure out pretty quickly several things. Is it real? Am I lying to myself? Is my eyes playing tricks on me? My mind playing tricks on me? If so, do I leave? Like, do I run? Do I stay? Has this happened before? I just feel like there's no other
explanation
emotion
for it.
That could happen that encapsulates everything so quickly.
Yeah, but no ghost experiences, like feeling like, oh, hey, there's a ghost.
I mean, speaking, when we moved into the new place that we're in a couple of years ago, it's super old. It's like the first time it's on a map is 1830. Yeah, we suspect that it was here probably, like, the foundation was probably here in like 1790, just looking at documents and everything. So everyone's always like, oh, is it haunted? And then there was a time when I was like, you know, some things were happening. Then we just started making a joke about it. Like, I lived in a haunted house. And it was just a joke, really. But I've never felt a bad energy here. I've always felt a very comfortable energy, like a very welcoming energy, and I've never lived in a place that I've had, like, just a welcoming feeling. And I think when I first moved here, I was telling Tim, I was probably recording too at the same time, saying that, like, I would just practice getting used to the place by walking around in the dark so that I could get used to the feeling of it. Like, you know.
No.
But exactly, any other place I wouldn't have done that. I would have felt afraid of the dark.
I don't care. Even in a church, I'd be, like, terrified. So forget that.
Oh, I'd be terrified in a church.
I'd be terrified anywhere in the dark.
Terrifying.
Yes. I played the exorcist game on the VR, and I was like, I'm done. This is terrifying. But I loved it.
Yeah.
I did hear a growl one time in an old apartment when I lived in LA, and my girlfriend at the time she heard the same thing. I remember messaging a ghost website. I think it was called ghosttheory.com. Mm-hmm. And I think it ended up on the message boards. I think I could still find it, actually.
That would be cool. Send it in.
But other than that, nothing really. No, and, you know, we, like, messaged the owners about that whole thing, but we had dogs, and the dogs kind of freaked out at that moment. It was kind of a weird thing, but, definitely nothing crazy or real that I know of to report.
Yeah, and nothing that can be explained by something else. Like, the doorbell goes off here kind of randomly.
Mm-hmm.
But that could simply be in the winter, it would go off at like a certain time every day. Not every day, but a certain time it would go off at a certain time on random days. And then the second winter it happened, we started putting it together that there was probably some ice or some water that had frozen behind the doorbell. Mm-hmm. And then because the sun was on the house at that particular time of the day, it thawed it out and caused it to move and ring the bell. Or it was our neighbor with their garage door opener. But, you know, you could try to like, you can try to
debunk,
explain it away. Yeah. Yeah.
But, okay. Well, you never know.
Yeah. The doorbell thing that was connected to the growl too, that we heard doorbell ring.
Oh, I remember you telling that story. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was pretty weird.
See, you have had stuff then. Yeah. Maybe, I mean, it's only in your mind if it's solidified. It doesn't really matter if somebody comes in and is like, I don't trust that experience you had. It's like, I was there. So
it's
that's
true.
How it felt also, to me.
Yeah, it also kind of lives in like a place in my brain that I don't access very often or think about. But now that I think about it, I do remember that happening a lot with the doorbell and running down the flights of stairs. And even one time, because it happened so frequently, I didn't go all the way down. I just yelled, anyone there? And then it rang three times in a row. And
Ew.
Then I went down there and there was still no one there.
No thanks. Ew, gross. Yeah, see, things like that, cool. I'm like, who's going to debunk that for you? It's going to be like,
yeah,
I didn't see anybody on the street that day, so I can't tell you. I mean, you know, it's just an eerie feeling you have, so it's one of those things. You just can't explain it, so.
We did have a moment of lost time in our house.
Hello? What?
it was weird, and I won't get into it now because it is literally like a 20-minute story. It just involved my girlfriend and I not being able to find each other for several minutes. And then.
In the same house.
Yeah. Like I took the dog for a walk, came back, put the mail on the table, walked past her desk, went upstairs, heard the doorbell, came downstairs. She was outside and she couldn't get in because I'd locked the door behind me. And she was like, I just went outside to look for you because she was on like a work call.
Mm.
And then we put it all together with like the time frame because I bumped into our neighbor's son who was on his way to school. And I thought it was weird that he was leaving for school. And because I checked the time, it was like 1:15. So, and her call ended at like, I don't know, 1:20 or something. But it was the mail. It was the mail that did it. I came in and put the mail on the table, went upstairs. That's when the doorbell rang. And we talked about what had happened. She was like, I couldn't find you. I walked down the street. And she went back into her office to go back to work. And there was something bugging me about it. And I just looked at the mail on the table. And I said, oh, you got a couple of pieces of mail. And she said, I know. I looked at it before I went out to go look for you. And I was like, wait a sec.
Not possible.
Yeah. So we've told our neighbors this story. I think I've told this on the air too. And it frustrated our neighbor who lives across the street so badly. He just needed to change the subject. He was like, you just got confused. And he's like, we don't have to talk about it. He just didn't want to talk about it anymore.
No, Gene, we lost time.
No, Gene, we went into a time fold.
Golly.
How did you know his name was Gene?
I'm psychic. Is it Gene?
I like how
really?
I said I wasn't going to tell the story and then I told the story.
I mean, it wasn't 20 minutes, but if you want to really record it, send it to me so I can put it on the show. That'd be awesome.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let me make a note. And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Thanks to our sponsors. And now we're back to the program. Lainey, tell us about the True Crime Podcast Festival. What is going on? It's coming up.
I know.
Yes,
August.
The 2022 edition.
Yes. So this is a festival that was co-founded by myself and Lisa, who previously had a show called Crime and Precedents. We started with the thought process in 2018, and then launched the first or the inaugural one in 2019 in Chicago, which was a huge hit. It was a completely grassroots thing where we were just, you know, talking to our friends and saying like, hey, if you want to come, come. We had no idea what we were doing, and we tried our best, and I think it went off really well, but we had some things we needed to fix. Then the pandemic hit, so we had to cancel the 2020 festival. Then we had 2021, which I likened to more of a meetup. It was just like, you know, the pandemic, I think Delta was about to surge again, so it was kind of in that weird phase. And then 2022, I was like, you know what? It's my turn. Lisa's done a really great job the first 2 years, and so I was like, I really want to take it on and just kind of go from start to finish with the whole planning process, because I hadn't really gotten to be involved because I was pregnant during the last one, and so I wanted to give Lisa a break from all of the planning and stuff and really invite more creators in to help in the planning process so that they could feel included, because it's really important to me. I'm an indie supporter, like indie show supporter, nonstop. Even if I were to one day ever go on a network, indie shows are at the heart of what I do, and I know how important they are to this industry. So I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to kind of just share their show with a bunch of people who love true crime and love true crime podcasts. So really it started with the idea of just like, I love hanging out with my friends. I love being able to network with other creators and just getting to kind of talk and hang out. And, you know, you don't really get to talk on a day-to-day basis with people who really get what you do, or have the same type of passion that you do and are doing true crime for the right reasons. So it's really important to me to make sure that the creators who are attending and the message that we're sending in the festival is really victim focused. We are passionate about inclusivity. I know that some people had some concerns about the festival being held in Texas because of the trans equality issues that are happening here. And so part of the mission of TCPF is to make a difference in the communities that we enter. So every year we are somewhere different. So this year, since we're in Texas, we are raising money for Hope's Door, which is a battered women's shelter, which helps women and children transition from domestic violence situations to a more stable life and to leave their situation that they're in. They do a fantastic job of getting women ready for the workforce who maybe haven't had a job in forever, and just really helping get their lives stabilized from, years of domestic violence. And then we're also raising money for Texas Equality, which helps kind of push with legislation to prevent families from being targeted by bigoted people who don't believe, you know, that kids can make decisions about their lives and who they are. So it's really important for us to make sure we make a difference where we go. So it's up to whoever, when they purchase a ticket, everybody has an option to donate to those organizations. And so we've pledged, we kept that money to the side. And so at the end of, or whenever the tickets close, we're going to be making our donation to both organizations. So it's really important that we also ensure that anybody who comes to sell products doesn't sell anything that's considered murderabilia. So everything needs to be victim focused or really safety focused. So we have an individual who's coming that sells, physical protection things that are non-lethal. We'll likely have a demonstration from the Dallas Police Department on self-defense techniques, things like that. We're very excited for this year's festival. So big shows, little shows, if you just started, if you want exposure, it's a great opportunity to network. Friday night is just for podcasters, so because we never really get an opportunity at other festivals to really just like spend time with each other before the chaos starts. So Friday we have a mixer, and it's just going to be for us to hang out, drink, eat, and just have a good time before the chaos of the next day starts, which is, you know, having the big meet and greets, and then we're going to have our round tables and panels. We changed a lot in programming this year because we used to do live shows, but now we're adding round tables to it because we found that really, people who are passionate, sorry, my stomach is growling. People who are passionate about true crime really want to share their theories with their favorite shows. Like, hey, there's this case you covered, and I'd really like to talk about this and share my thoughts on it. So the roundtables are for that purpose. So there's going to be cases on Brandon Lawson that we're doing, which is a local Texas case that initially I think is a cold case, but they believe they've now found his remains. His best friend is actually the person who helped find his remains, or what they believe to be his remains. I think confirmation is pending, but, you know, we're going to be talking about things like that. But we have many people on the committee who are focused on victim advocacy and also inclusivity within the genre, because as we know, people of color are often not taken seriously in the podcasting industry. So it's important for us to make sure we have an equal distribution of programming that includes them as well.
For you. Excellent, excellent work. excellent job being inclusive and extending the platform to all of the good causes that you're, you know, raising awareness and funding for. Wish we could be there. We committed to something else.
I know.
A long time ago, and it just, like, those dates just are not good, and we can't make it.
Next year, it's going to be in May.
Year is going to be May.
Yes.
And where do you have, is there any idea where, or are you just a
there is an idea where, but we're not going to announce it yet.
No one's listening anyway. It's just the three of us.
No, sure. No. I'll tell you privately, but no.
Okay.
Cool.
We won't announce it. So, yes, it will be May of next year, either the second week of May or the last week of May.
Okay, and that's 2023.
Yes.
And what are the dates for this year?
We are going to be Dallas, Texas, August 26th through the 28th at the Weston Park Central. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Very
cool. Missing out.
Fantastic.
We are missing out. Yes.
And we have LA Not So Confidential and Women in Crime, I believe, doing a panel on our on Saturday on the Sherry Papini case. So I'm very excited to see them. They were a huge hit in 2019. I forgot who the other show that they did the live show with, but they were not fairly well known at the time, but their panel was the most talked about live show at the end of 2019. So I'm very excited to have them back.
Very
That's
cool.
Great.
Yeah, we love the good doctors of
all
LA Not So Confidential and of Women in Crime. Yes,
yes.
They're all fantastic. What other panels or roundtables do you have planned?
Yeah, so we just announced the first round of panels. The committee is still looking through some of the submissions that we have and just making sure that it fits with what we're planning for those days. So we have the Sherry Papini case. Then we are going to have True Crime Bullshit, that's hosted by Josh Hallmark, and Defense Diaries, hosted by Bob Mata. They are going to be doing a deep dive into the Israel Keyes questioning and the ethical pieces of it, and if law enforcement really followed kind of the protocols that they're supposed to follow, including the FBI, with his questioning. Then we have roundtables done by Bruh Is Some Murder, who is one of my favorite podcasts. They are going to be talking about people of color and different cases that involve people of color. So it's going to be really interesting. And then we have Crime Lines with Charlie and again, the talker, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata. They're going to be discussing the overcharge of people who are involved in domestic violence situations and how the media portrays those when it versus men versus women and things like that. If you guys don't know Bob, he's an incredible former or current, maybe. He says he's a recovering defense attorney, and his dad was actually John Wayne Gacy's defense attorney. And so his dad gave him this random ass gift of all of John Wayne Gacy's tapes when he was, you know, being interviewed by Bob Sr. And he does a really great job of presenting the Gacy case in a new way and actually presents new evidence, a possible planted evidence. But it also kind of just begs the question, and I think it's going to be a great question during the panel, about the ends justifying the means, right? Does the planted evidence, you know, do we care that John Wayne Gacy's rights were violated when he murdered, you know, 32 plus people or 23 plus people? And that planted evidence got us into the house to discover the bodies. Like, do we really care? And I think that's a fair question. I mean, I don't really know how to answer that. From a selfish perspective, I'm like, oh, of course I don't care. But from, you know, a legal perspective, it's, you know, it's not the right thing to do. So
you can't pick and choose. We got to all defend the Constitution, Lainey.
Yeah, and that's how Bob is.
Bob loves the Constitution.
Like, yeah, he loves the Constitution.
He loves the Fourth and the Sixth Amendment.
That was my Bob impression, actually.
That
we just
great.
Had him on. Thank
He's
you.
So funny.
Yeah,
I love him.
He was on an episode that aired today with us.
Oh, awesome! I will need to listen to it. I'm obsessed with him. His shoes,
he's great.
His shirts. He's just a stylish
his
dude.
His voice,
yeah. He's just the coolest kid ever. I'm like, how have I not known you this whole time? I love him. So yes.
Check out the episode.
I love him.
That ethical like conversation that response. Yeah. It just naturally comes up because one, a lot of people ask him, you know, how does your dad defend somebody like John Wayne Gacy?
Yes.
So there's that question, but then there's the planted evidence question and like, do you really care? But you know, there's a lot of factors. No one knew what John Wayne Gacy was until he became John Wayne Gacy.
Right.
And
right.
If you're doing that to get one person, where does it stop? You know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really fascinating conversation.
Ooh, I can't wait to listen to it then. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah. I think we would have eventually been in the same situation where Gacy was convicted of murder, but maybe not right away.
Yeah.
You know, there were so many cases that led right to his crawl space. You know, that there's a lot of clues in all those cases that would have eventually led back to him.
Mm-hmm. See, now I'm so jealous that you have Bob there and you're talking about Brandon Lawson, because we work really closely with Jason Watts, and we
did
the panel at CrimeCon with Ludessa and Jason and talked all about that in Crimes, Cults, and Cabernet. They were on the search and everything. So I feel like we're missing out. Maybe
you can log into Spotify Live and listen to it so you can be there.
Oh, yeah, that's actually
a
great
idea.
Yes. That's what we're doing. So we want people, you know, again, it's not a money-making scheme for us whatsoever, trust me. It's, you know, I mean, my goal is just to get this out to people. Like, I think it's, you know, it's not something that that we're trying to hide behind or anything like that and be like, oh, you can only get this here. Obviously, we would love people to attend, but I just want to make it available so people can hear it and listen to it, and so that the podcasters who are attending who maybe don't have a huge audience yet can kind of build off of what they you know, can get at TCPF. It's a great opportunity to mix and mingle and to get to know creators who are maybe bigger and they take an interest in your show, or they're like, hey, yeah, I would love to listen to that, because we know the true crime market is very saturated. There's a new podcast coming out, you know, every day. Everybody thinks they're doing, you know, something new in the industry or something new in the genre. And it can get lost because, you know, we've seen podcasts come and go. They've started with like a passion, but then they get discouraged by numbers, or they think it's a get rich quick scheme. And if you're doing podcasting for money, especially in true crime, you're going to be very disappointed. It's very few and far between that we have individuals who are new shows that exceed the expectations of an audience. So I think about Swindled. Started after me. He's one of my great friends. I love him to death. And he's extremely successful, you know, and that's because he fits within a niche. Same thing for Josh when he told me about how he was going to develop True Crime Bullshit and talk about it. And I was like, dude, I can't stand Israel Keyes. So hopefully you can do something, you know, great with this. And then I listened to it and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, this is going to be huge for you. And it has. It's catapulted him in a way that his other shows that are equally as great, you know, are not, couldn't do for him, essentially. So it's, to me, a great thing. I love seeing people succeed. I don't care if they're more successful than I am. I'm just like, dude, that's amazing. So I'm always cheering on the sidelines for everybody, you know.
Not us. We're sabotaging. We're backstabbing. We are
manipulating. I can't wait for podcast confessions, you guys.
That's a winner.
I got some stories for you.
That's a winner.
Sounds good. Well, Lainey, thank you so much
for hanging
out with us here today and joining us and telling us all about your podcast and about the True Crime Podcast Festival. We would love to be there in future years. So
yes, always invited.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And We'll be listening to all your pods and join in on Spotify if we can't be there in person.
Yes, please do. That'll be awesome.
I just got one final question.
Mm-hmm.
You of Mexican heritage, your
Shut
feelings
up.
On the chupacabra.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you don't want to get me started on this. I highly believe in all of our like folklorical creatures, okay? But the chupacabra is not really kind of my concern because it's not really in the realm of where I live. So man, it's like whatever. If I was in South Texas, probably. But it's not anything my family's had experiences with. My family has had experiences with the lechuza, which is an owl. And so basically, I hate owls. They're harbingers of death. If you see them, I hate owls. Like, let me tell you what. I literally have banned. When I was pregnant, I told people, I was like, do not give me any type of owl toys, anything with owl prints on it. I will return it. Not accepted. nothing whatsoever. So for the folklore goes for the lechuzas that they're owls that are really like witches and warlocks or whatever that transform themselves into owls and place curses on people. So if you see them outside your house, you're supposed to like go out, cuss them out to eternity and scare them off your property. Because ultimately what happens is because they place this curse on your family, either that means you will be dying or somebody within your family will be dying. And so when my biological father was in Mexico, he had gone outside because they didn't have plumbing in their house. So they had gone outside to the outhouse and he had seen a bird like flying over and it was a lechuza. So his brother came out because he was like, what the hell is this? His brother came out and started cussing it out and shot it. Because that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to kill it or try to get it off your property. So he brought his gun out, shot it, and it as it was flying away, it fell into the field, and up got a guy stood up and ran away. According to my biological father and his brother. So that's what happened. And I was like, yeah, no thanks. So my husband loves my fear of owls, and he's like, one day I want to just buy like a bunch of those owls that people put in their yards and just have them in surrounding you at night when you're asleep or something so that when you wake up, you're like terrified. And I was like, I will divorce you. I love you to death, but I will either end your life or I will divorce you.
It's so, not ending well either way.
No, not for him, for sure. For me, fine. But I will, because I will take him to the cleaners. That's what I told him. I was like, if I ever divorce you, I will take everything you own. So, yes.
Well, especially after you've warned him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like I gave you fair warning. So, you know what's up. Yeah. But yeah, so lechuzas are my thing, and no thanks. I hate owls. So if anybody trolls me with owls, you're not my friend. So yeah.
Well, warning received.
Yes. Now you know.